Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Al Gore testified in Congress today, trying to reduce carbon emissions by exhaling once for every two inhales. I wonder how he did with that. Remember Bill Clinton never inhaled? Remember that? Bill Clinton's, I did not inhale. And now Gore is waiting to exhale. Boy, what a pair, huh? So the Republicans are annoying Al Gore and the liberals with the facts, like Antarctica ice is not melting, it's increasing, and Greenland's ice is not melting at an alarming rate as thought, and Mars, where there are very few SUVs on Mars. There's the Mars rover, right? NASA's launched a couple of missions to Mars, but there's, as far as I know, there's still no rush hour traffic on Mars, and yet Mars is also warming. Mars has been warming, and why is that? Because the cause of global warming is called the sun. The sun is the cause of global warming, and in Congress, those who are against the end of the world fear, the doomsday prophets like Al Gore and others, those who oppose that, were quoting the president of the Czech Republic, Václav Klaus. Václav Klaus, who's pointing out that he grew up under the communism of the Soviet Union, the Russian communist, and how they robbed humans of their freedom. And he said that the radical environmental movement is the threat today that's attempting to rob millions of people of basic human freedoms. Basically, the environmental movement is the new home of the left, of socialists and communists who want control and who hate human beings. They like rocks and dirt, but they hate human beings. That's why they support killing unborn children, but they're against killing fetal pigs. Can't kill a fetal pig, but you could kill a little baby boy or girl. Okay, so that's what's going on. And hey, the last ice age. When did the ice age end? Well, even according to atheistic evolutionist geologists, even according to them, without the benefit of the automobile or the combustion engine, the ice age ended just in the recent past, geologically speaking. So what, the Earth warmed up a bit and it had nothing to do with Al Gore and his private jets? So the Bible tells us, God says that winter, spring, summer, fall, these seasons will continue, and it is really a distraction to worry about the temperature of the Earth. That is a distraction. What we need to look at is people denying the existence of the Creator God, people denying that there's such a thing as right and wrong, people who advocate killing unborn children, killing the elderly, killing the handicapped, like Denver's Children's Hospital, who told the parents of Dylan Walborn to starve him to death, four-year-old boy, and they did, at the suggestion of Children's Hospital, of all places. So these are some of the things we have to worry about. People who are convicted of molesting children and who are sent back out on the street to molest and murder other children. That's the kind of thing we need to worry about, not global warming, which is a corporate insanity. It's a global insanity, if anything. So the ice age ended last night on Nova in Denver. PBS TV stations air different programs around the country. I don't know where this program was aired, but it was on the mega flood, not Noah's flood, but a mega flood, an enormous flood that occurred in the state of Washington, started in Missoula, Montana, and in the state of Washington, and it created the Scablands. For what, over a century? This area has been called the Scablands, 1,000 square miles. When you look at it, it looks like the Earth was just beating beat up, beat to shreds. And people say, well, what happened to the earth? And of course, the geologists have always said, like they always say, well, over tens of thousands or over millions of years, water slowly trickled. And one geologist was pretty stubborn, and he said, this couldn't happen with water trickling over millions of years. This is all catastrophic. So finally now, the geologists are admitting that, yes, a flood caused these scab lands to form catastrophically within hours and days, not over thousands or millions of years. And that's happening over and over and over again, time and time again. It's happening. Things that we were told are proof of thousands or millions of years. Sometimes they say, well, that happened in over about 30 minutes, about a half hour, like the Heart Mountain up in Yosemite National Park on the edge of Yosemite. So at any rate, that flood in the scab lands in Washington, they say, and it was rather reasonable suggestion, that a glacier, a creeping glacier coming down from Canada into Montana and Idaho and Washington, that glacier caused a natural dam. And that dam caused a lake, a river got dammed up, and a massive lake formed. And then that glacial dam broke. It was a natural breach in that dam. And that lake was catastrophically emptied out, and it caused a flood. And then that flood is what carved out the scab lands. Pretty gross, right? Like the Badlands. These are the scab lands. And so there were glaciers over, what, tens of thousands of square miles of continents? According to the atheistic evolutionist geologist, who are not aided by the biblical chronology, they think that stuff happened about 20,000 years ago. We know that stuff happened about 4,000 years ago. But it was really cold, and we had an ice age, and then it warmed up, and it had nothing to do with automobiles because they hardly had chariots 4,000 years ago, let alone automobiles. All right? Now, by the way, the debate we had that we aired just 10 minutes of yesterday with Reginald Finley, we will be airing more of that, about an hour's worth, next week, Monday and Tuesday, Lord willing. Reggie is known as the Infidel Guy, infidelguy.com. He appeared on ABC's, what do they call it, a reality show, Wife Swap. And that's a tragedy. They even have a show titled that. Well, anyway, we had a really interesting debate, and you heard about 10 minutes of it yesterday. So if anyone has thoughts or comments on how that debate started, how it opened up, when I told Reggie, you're not debating a Christian fatalist who believes that the future is settled. And that changed the entire nature of the debate. If you have thoughts on that, feel free. You can call in 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Now let's go to a listener in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Marianne, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Pastor Bob.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, my question is, my husband will not take any other answer except from you.
Uh-oh, he's in trouble.
I have searched it so not to have to call and bother, but here's the question.
All right.
We watched a Christian show on TV.
You're so funny.
And it was about soul sleep.
Soul sleep. Okay.
Yes, I heard you mention that a couple weeks ago, but yeah. Roy didn't give his answer to it.
Yeah.
And he's been pestering me to call. This man, he's apparently a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
Number one, I searched on soul sleep under the Berean Searchlight. They had an article. He will not take anybody's answer but yours.
Oh, boy. Marianne, you're going to have to talk to him about that because he's going to have to broaden his base of teachers and Christian leaders that he could enjoy learning from. But it is an honor to have you call in and ask the question. So let's talk about it.
There are no other ones that we can...
Oh, well...
I'm very serious. There's no one really.
Well...
Berean Searchlight's good, but...
Well, the Berean Searchlight, that's a great source.
And yeah, but...
there's the evangelist Lee Homoke in Bible Doctrines to Live By. Those guys are great.
I get the magazines because you... We heard that on your program.
Hey, praise the Lord.
They're great.
There are all different kinds of ministries, like... Ray Comfort, the head of Way of the Master Ministry with Kirk Cameron. Those guys are fabulous at teaching people how to witness. And then there's Dr. Walt Brown and Answers in Genesis, teaching people that God created. So there's so many neat ministries, but thank you for the compliment. So let's talk about Soul Sleep.
All right.
And you said that this teacher you think was a Seventh-day Adventist?
Yeah, I searched it out. He definitely was.
Yeah, Seventh-day Adventist. The major part of their movement, well, they started back in the 1800s, and in 1844, they said in the spring of that year that the Lord was going to return, because they based it on a prophecy out of Daniel of so many days, a couple thousand, 300 days, and they said every day was a year, and so they figured it out, and it was going to be in the spring, and it was a great discouragement. And then they said they were off by half a year. It would be in the fall. But, of course, the Lord didn't return in the fall of 1844. And you know what's interesting? That book, then there was a book written by a Seventh-day Adventist leader called The Great Controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout that book, he is telling everybody, he wrote it 40 years later in 1884.
Uh-huh.
And he repeatedly says that the end is imminent. They're at the edge of the next phase of human history. You know, get ready because the Lord is coming back. And what's interesting, that book has sold 10 million copies. And everybody who read that book when it was written, they're all dead. And the Lord has not returned yet. And in fact, hundreds of millions of people have died since that book was written. And their end times prophecies have not come to pass. And he was predicting, the author was predicting, that they would all be arrested by governments, that governments would arrest them because they would not worship on Sunday, that America's government would round them up, and that would be the Great Tribulation.
All right.
That would happen in the Great Tribulation. Anyway, it obviously was wrong about its end times prophecy, because here we are almost, 120 years later.
Right.
And or more than 120 years later. And so the imminency of the claims were wrong. And that's not only true of Seventh-day Adventist groups, just generally. You could look through Christian history and see people who love God and study his word. And they say, look, here is what we know. We know that this is the last generation. We know that this is the very end. And they say they know with such urgency that they're trying to convince themselves that they know.
And they are still on TV.
Well, countless ministries.
Yeah.
And but anyway, you called about Soul Sleep. But one more point I'd like to make to equip the audience. When I have people tell me that they know that the Lord is coming back, you know, within a very short time, I usually offer to buy their home from them. And I try to get them to tell me, you know, what do you think? Do you think it'll be in the next year, 5 years, 10 years? They say, well, we don't know for sure, but certainly in the next 10 years. So I say, okay, well, how about I'll give you $1,000 and I'll buy your home, but I don't take possession of it until 11 years from now. So you'll have $1,000 to use for ministry, to use for your family. And after you're raptured, you don't care who has your home. But Marianne, nobody will take me up on that deal.
Very creative of you, though.
Yeah, and so what it shows me is that they don't really believe what they're saying.
They mustn't.
They're trying to convince me. Because if they really believed the Lord would be coming back in the next 5 years, they'd take $1,000 and sell me their home. I don't take possession until 11 years from now. Yeah, but they don't believe it. But they want me to believe it. I don't I never quite figured that out. But anyway, on soul sleep,
mm-hmm.
that is an idea that's been held by various Christian teachers over the years. You know, Christians are free to come up with all kinds of ideas and then promote them. And a lot of the ideas we have conflict, which show that, well, somebody's wrong somewhere. And in the Bible, the Apostle Paul addresses the issue of his own death. And he says that, I would really like to go to be with the Lord. But on the other hand, it's good for you for me to stay here. But if it wasn't for you, I would like to go to be with the Lord, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul states explicitly. And so if there was such a thing as soul sleep, well, you would think the Apostle Paul would know about it. He wrote most of the hardcore theology of the New Testament.
See, this man just shot all this down with his, in Greek it means, and in this it means, and in that it means. He shot all the scriptures like that down, and he'd say, well, there's no comma in the, and if you read it this way, even the thief on the cross, this day I will be with you. Wait, how does this thief on the cross say it?
Jesus said to him, this day you'll be with me in paradise.
Okay, all right. And what this man was saying on TV is, it's not this day, it's this day I tell you. Like, I'm telling you today that you will be with me in paradise, but not necessarily today.
Right. Well,
That's what he was saying.
The guy was being put to death, you know? And so anybody telling him anything, they'd be telling him that day. And that's just a little weird, you know?
I thought that was weird, too.
Yeah, that's weird. And when people have an idea, they want to force it. You get an idea. Like, mm-hmm. one guy has an idea that Eve had relations with Lucifer, and that's where Cain came from.
I can't believe this. I'm outside on my phone. I'm on the phone with the TV. Can you just wait 2 minutes? Go back down Spring Hill. Right off of Spring Garden is High Street. Okay. Oh, my. Someone, I was outside on my phone, and someone asked me directions.
Now, did you give did you give good directions?
Yes, I just gave it to him.
Okay, good.
Okay.
It reminds me, just to make an analogy, by the way, our phone number here is 1-800-8-N-YARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let me make an analogy with the teachings of another guy who's been on TV, and he's been teaching for years, Arnold Murray, out of, Gravette, Arkansas, or something like that. Arnold Murray teaches that Satan and Eve had relations, and that's how she bore Cain. So he got that idea in his head somehow. And then, of course, he became committed to it. So no matter what the Bible says, he has to insist that Lucifer and Eve had relations and Cain was born. Now
he works his way around all that.
So when we talk to people who follow Arnold Murray and they say this, we say, well, have you read what Moses wrote in Genesis 4, verse 1? It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, mm-hmm. I have acquired a man from the Lord, you know, a male child.
Right.
So you can't be more explicit than all that. Adam knew Eve, his wife. In case somebody thought it was another Eve, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And in case you thought that maybe nothing came of that, and she conceived. And maybe you might think, well, she had some other kid. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And said, I have acquired a man from the Lord, just like a believer today when they have a child, they thank God. They thank God for the gift of children. And so how you can take a verse like that and get out of it that Lucifer had relations with Eve, well, that's just absurd. But that is the degree to which people will go to insist. It's like they close their eyes as tightly as they can, and they will insist that their idea is present in Scripture, when there are strong statements to the contrary, like the global flood, right? Everything the Bible says about the global flood, all human beings were wiped out except for eight. All the animals that had breath of life in them were wiped out. The water covered all the mountains, 15 cubits above the tops, the summits of the mountains. And Noah had to build an ark because otherwise all life would be wiped out from the earth. And so you have Christian old earth creationists who say it was a local flood.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, like Hugh Ross.
Stupid.
Well, it's pretty bizarre.
But that's another thing how people will make up.
That's an example.
Believe.
Yeah, that's an example of what people do. So you get this idea, okay, when somebody dies, they don't go directly to hell if they're an unbeliever, or they don't go directly to heaven if they're a believer. They go into this state of soul sleep. Okay, that's an idea, soul sleep. So then you look in the scriptures and you see that the Apostle Paul said that he was really torn between two desires. One was to go and be with the Lord, and the other was to stay because of those he ministered to. Right?
Okay.
So that was the issue. And he was torn, and he said, you know, I'd rather go be with the Lord, but because of you guys, it's better for me to stay here because I could minister to you guys. So now, if there was soul sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there was soul sleep, and maybe this teacher you heard has better theology than the Apostle Paul, but I tend to doubt it. You know, Paul was not omniscient. But he taught us quite a bit about death and the resurrection. And the passage I'm talking about, he was writing to the Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote to the Corinthians about our death and burial and how we're raised incorruptible. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Then in 2 Corinthians, he says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if there was soul sleep, then he would have no desire to quickly go to be with the Lord, to die so he could be with the Lord. Because what would be the benefit of that?
None.
He wouldn't get to see the Lord not one bit sooner. So it would be totally absurd. But he said, you know, I've been shipwrecked. I've been beat. I've been left for dead. I've been flogged. 39 lashes. And I'm exhausted. My body is spent. And I would like to go to be with the Lord. But it's beneficial for you for me to hang out. So anyway, those are some examples. And
Bob.
Yeah.
I'm glad you gave examples, but he just needed you to say yes or no. But I'm glad you gave examples.
Well,
that's how good
Marianne, that worries me a little. I don't want anyone to take my word without hearing directly from the scripture.
Well, we just know you're good.
Well, that's kind of you. Hey, something else. You know where else people get confused on this issue? In the Old Testament, there's something called the cities of refuge.
Uh-huh.
In the cities of refuge, Israel, they had six cities of refuge that God said, if someone accidentally kills someone, so it's manslaughter, accidental manslaughter,
mm-hmm.
He said, you go and take refuge in this city. In fact, six of these cities. And the example in the Bible is if you're chopping down a tree and the axe head flies off and it hits your neighbor, say it kills your neighbor's daughter, then your neighbor is so mad that you killed his daughter, he wants to come after you and get revenge. So God said, set up six cities of refuge. Now, I'm thinking, boy, they must have had a lot of flying axe heads back then because they didn't have automobiles. They had very few chariots. How do they have all these accidental deaths that this little country of Israel needs six cities of refuge? It seems like overkill. And what we realize is that the Bible says that the volume of the book speaks of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that the prophets speak of him, the law, the prophets, and the writings. So the cities of refuge speak of Jesus Christ, and this is what God said. What's that?
Is he our city of refuge?
Well, yeah.
Sort of.
This is what the Bible says. It says, if you accidentally kill someone, this is for Israel. This is not for today. This was symbolic law for Israel. You accidentally kill someone, you flee to the city of refuge where you are safe from the avenger of blood, and you stay there until the death of the one who is high priest in those days.
Hmm.
Now, that is very prophetic sounding, because is it a practical solution? Well, you might accidentally kill your neighbor's daughter, go to the city of refuge, and 2 days later, the high priest dies. So then you go back home, 3 days later, the guy's still as mad as could be. Or you might go to the city of refuge, and the high priest doesn't die for the next 50 years. And here you're stuck in this city. Your neighbor and his whole family, they died 30 years ago. You're still stuck in the city of refuge. In other words, it doesn't make sense on the surface until we put Jesus Christ into the story, just like the Passover, where Christ is the Passover lamb. So that's why they didn't break the lamb's bones, because it was a picture that Christ would be crucified, but none of his bones would be broken. So Jesus Christ is the high priest in those days. And when the righteous died before the crucifixion, they could not go right to heaven because Christ's blood had not yet been shed. So they went someplace else. It's called Abraham's bosom. And they were safe in Abraham's bosom, safe from the avenger of blood, from the claims of Lucifer. And they remained there until the death of Jesus Christ, the one who was high priest in those days, and then they could go home, that is, to be with the Lord. So even in the Old Testament, when someone died, they did not go into soul sleep. They went to Abraham's bosom.
That's so perfect. That's perfect, too.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob. We've been listening to you for years and years, and even back from TV.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if you get your Bible studies, it's like somebody's reading that whole Bible to you and explaining it. It's so wonderful.
Our monthly Bible study albums you guys get. I'm so thrilled you do.
I love them.
Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
May God bless you.
God bless you.
I really
appreciate
the encouragement. Hey, Maranatha.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. Maranatha.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a neat school, Maranatha. And our website, kgov.com. And call us for a catalog, 800-8-NYARDS, 836-9278.